May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonia Jalevel of Day Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Israel Abel Obadiah Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary. And now I'd like to present to you the son of Israel Abel, Obadiah Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'm going to be talking about the two witnesses. If you can turn over to Revelations 11. It's on page 977, Revelations 11:3. And it says, "And I will give to my two witnesses to perform their prophetic offices, and they will foretell events about the 3.5 years those cast about with darkness." Scholars have struggled for centuries to understand this prophecy, but have not been able to. It wasn't until Yahweh's house revealed these prophecies concerning the two witnesses. So why is it so important to understand who these two witnesses spoken of in Revelations 11:3 are? It's important because it pertains to the time period we are living in right now. They explain what will occur to mankind in this time period, what the scriptures foretell regarding the future of mankind, warning us what we must do to protect ourselves from what is to come. This is why it is vital to know who these two witnesses are. Now let's talk about the work that these two witnesses are commissioned to do and what they will foretell. Most know about the scripture in Revelations regarding the two witnesses, but they don't really understand this prophecy. We must go back to the prophet's writings. To really understand this prophecy, we must go back to the prophet's writings. Their names were given, the time period that they would be born, and even details about their lives and what they would do. If you can turn over to page 558 in your book of Yahweh, 558, it's Isaiah 44, verse 1, 2, and 8. It says, "Yet hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. This is what Yahweh says, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, and Yeshurun, beloved Yeshurun, whom I have appointed." And verse 8 says, "Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared, you are my witnesses? Is there a source of power except me? Truly, there is no other rock, and no, not one." So we can see their names are Jacob and Yisrael, and they were formed from the same womb, which means they are brothers. If you can turn over to Isaiah 44, verse 5, on page 558, it says, "And one will say, I belong to Yahweh, and the same will call himself with the name of Jacob. The other will subscribe with his hand and write, I belong to Yahweh, and surname himself with the name of Yisrael." Pastor told us how he was, the story of how he was inspired to change his name to Yisrael, and the story of how Jacob changed his name under duress. The two witnesses are also referred to in scriptures as two olive trees. And the last two lamps on the seventh lampstand, as it shows in Revelations 11:4. If you can turn over to page 719. Page 719. Zechariah 5, verse 10 and 11. And it says, "Then I said to the Malak who was speaking with me, where are they, the two witnesses going with the ephod? And they said to me, to build the house of Yahweh according to the standard of perfection sent by Yahweh's laws in a Babylonian land which does not yet exist. And it will be established at that time when the two witnesses are called out to their work as the established place of habitation of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh." So we can see here that the two witnesses would establish the house of Yahweh in a land that did not yet exist. The house of Yahweh was officially established in the United States in 1983. So you can see how precise, you can see the precise details of the fulfillment of this prophecy. Another job of the two witnesses is to teach the laws of Yahweh and warn what occurs when the laws are broken, and that because of sin, the world will experience the greatest time of trouble ever, ending a nuclear war. We must also understand that only one witness would be left alive to finish off the work, finish off the last day's work, and that is Yisrael Hawkins. If you can turn over to Isaiah, page 558, Isaiah 43, verse 28, and it says, "Therefore, I will dissolve the Levitical priesthood and give Jacob to the curse and Yisrael to reproaches." The witness Jacob died on 3/22/1991. Yisrael Hawkins has been given to reproaches. He has been ridiculed and slandered since he started preaching the message of Yahweh. He has even been arrested because of propaganda and lies, just like the prophecy shows. Yahshua said, "If they hated me, they will also hate you." They hate him because he exposes their sins. In Isaiah 44, verse 1 through 2, it shows a difference in these two men. The different assignments, Jacob, my servant, and Yisrael, whom I have chosen and appointed. Yisrael Hawkins is the chosen branch, the last day's witness of Yahweh. He will finish Yahweh's work through the guidance of Yahshua, who is leading and guiding this work together with Yisrael Hawkins. If you can turn over to page 719 in your book of Yahweh, it's Zechariah 6, verse 11 through 13. And it says, "Take the silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Yahshua, son of Yahzadak, the high priest. Speak to him and say, 'This is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold, the man whose name is a branch, for he will branch out of his place and he will build the house of Yahweh.' Yes, he will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory and will sit and rule on his throne. He will be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace will be between them both." So remember, the only way to learn the truth about Yahweh's laws and prophecies and have protection from what is to come is to follow the teachings of the one sent from Yahweh at the house of Yahweh, the last day's witness, Yisrael Hawkins. And with that, if you all please stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker. You can go.
Son of Yisrael Abel, Deacon Yisrael Bill Hawkins. Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I understand that we have proof that we are being heard in 114 different countries. Praise Yahweh, and that's including North Korea. So pay close attention, because the house of Yahweh is not just another religion. The title of my sermon today is Television About a Donkey Vision.
And 2 weeks ago on Sabbath, we heard about a man named Philo Farnsworth that invented the television. And also, if you remember, there was another man we heard about called or named John Logie Baird that went to work with the Clyde Valley Electrical Power Company, and not the Clyde here in Texas, but over in Scotland. The Clyde Valley Electrical Power Company, and his name was Baird. And then between 1902 and 1907, Arthur Korn, like the judge we have here, Judge Korn, invented and built the first successful signal conditioning circuits for image transmission. So, back to Philo Farnsworth, this man here, Philo Farnsworth. He was an American inventor and television pioneer. And it says here on the third page of this article, he first demonstrated his system to the press on September 3rd, 1928, and to the public at the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia on August 25th, 1934. Now get that date, August 25th, 1934. So that was the first public display. If I could have my first slide. So you can see there the moon makes its first pose there, and you see the date is circled, August 25th. And my next slide, if I could have my next slide. You see there, August 25th, 1934, the man in the moon has posed for his first radio snapshot. So the first thing that he showed on the television was the moon. And if you remember, Pastor's face was also seen on the moon. Now, what else occurred on August 25th? Nobody knows. The donkey vision, right? That occurred on August 25th, 2011. If I can have my next slide. So there it is, August 25th, 2011. Now this was exactly 77 years later. August 25th, 2011, and 116 days after that was the sign with the age and the SHDHF. Now the donkey vision was seen over the homestead, the same place that Pastor Yishel Hawkins and his brother Jacob Hawkins dedicated the work. And in the 12th book of Israel, chapter 1, and starting at verse 8, it says here, on August 25th, when Yahweh showed me, Yeshua showed me the donkey cloud, it was a magnificent sight. And when I first glanced up and saw that donkey, it was easy to recognize that it was a donkey, and it was very plain, very distinct. I thought, yeah, this is how Mary gets her pictures up there, but the cloud wasn't moving. It just sat there. And I got to looking at it, and I said, no, this is not like Mary uses. This is of Yahweh, I said. And I saw the details of this donkey, plus the pack on her back, or his pack, and her ears pointed forward, and her head raised up like she was staring at this cloud in front of her. And this was over the homestead. I went back and checked it out later, and sure enough, it was over the homestead and reached to the west and then back to the east a long way, just totally covering the house of Yahweh property. So you know, all this adds up, but the things I'm going to show you, it even gets better. But that was on the 25th of August. I mean, yeah, the 25th when I saw this. And then I told you about it on the 27th of August, 2011. Told the whole house of Yahweh on that Sabbath day. The 28th, the artist started to working on this picture, on a picture for the donkey cloud. On the 28th, that's when I turned 77 years old, was on the date. They started working on that cloud. That'd probably add into that thing too. And sure enough, it does. He turned 77 on August 28th. And remember, 77 years before that, before the donkey vision on August 25th, this man made the first public display with the television. And he was shown the donkey. And if you remember in Genesis 49, found on page 43, and verse 11 says, tethering his donkey to the vine, tethering his donkey colt to the choicest branch. He will wash his garments in wine, he will wash his robes in the blood of grapes. And back to the 12th book of Israel, still in chapter 1. And verse 106, this is near the end of the chapter. Verse 106, it says, and up over this house and up over this land Yahweh has given us, that was actually dedicated to Yahweh. He shows us the donkey. And he shows us the cloud in front the donkey, which represented the olive branch. The olive branch and the donkeys. I got your attention, right? And that's what is showing there. The donkeys are in full focus. The olive branch has got the attention of the donkey that's carrying the load, that's getting the message to the entire world that would bring the nations to humble themselves to Yahweh. So getting this message to the entire world using the television as one of the means. Now, in fact, either in the year 1982 or 1983, Pastor Yisrael Hawkins did his first television show in Texas on KTAB, Channel 32. And the Hebrew for 82, it's a little blurry, I'll go ahead and read it. For 82, it says to soar, to fly, and also, 83 means opinion, wings, and winged. So flying like the waves through the sky. Now, tell a vision in gematria, we've seen this before, equals to 828. It's really blurry. But it equals to 828, which is Pastor's birthday. And Daniel 9:23 in the interlinear says, let me get it here. It says, and I have come to tell. Now the words to tell equals to, or is 5046 in the Hebrew. And this means to be conspicuous, told, answered, certainly told. Let me see if I can show you here. Here's 5046. To be conspicuous, told, answered, certainly told, declare, declared, declares, declaring, describe, display, explain, fully report, give evidence, indeed, tell, inform, informed, made known, make known, messenger, report, reported, surely report, surely tell, told plainly and uttered, certainly, certified, declare, expound, fully, messenger, like the seventh messenger, stand boldly out, opposite, to announce, always by word of mouth, to one present, to expose, predict, explain, and a messenger. Now, I want you to focus on the word there, conspicuous. It meant to be conspicuous. Now, number 77, which remember 77 years after the first public display of the television, was the donkey vision. Now, the word Hebrew word 77, right here, is also conspicuous. Okay, so 5046 and 77 are the same. They mean the same thing, conspicuous. Now, the definition of conspicuous. If I could have my slide. Okay, and if you see it there, It says easily seen, clear, visible, noticeable, discernible, perceptible, detectable, and down in the second line, manifest, evident, apparent, marked, pronounced, prominent. And the last two words on the second line there is crystal clear. Okay? And then we have distinct, recognizable, and unmistakable. So all these things are in the definition of conspicuous, but I want you to get that crystal clear, like the LCD TV, the liquid crystal display, making the image crystal clear. And if you look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12, this is found on page 896, 1 Corinthians 13 verse 12, and says, "Now we are looking in a mirror that gives only a blurred reflection, but then face to face with perfection. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, even as I am now fully known." And in the King James Version, it says that we look through a glass darkly, or, you know, with the blurred reflection. But with the teachings of Pastor, it becomes more clear, or crystal clear. Now, Pastor was born by the bridge that connects Purcell and Lexington. And this is this bridge here. The U.S. 77 South Canadian River Bridge connects Purcell and Lexington. It says the James C. Nance Memorial Bridge is a deck truss bridge crossing the Canadian River between Purcell and Lexington, Oklahoma. The bridge carries U.S. Route 77, U.S. 77. Now, for a while, this bridge was closed. You can see here the emergency closure it talks about here. But when this bridge was reopened, right here, the bridge was reopened to traffic with a load posting on June 13th, 2014, or 6/13/2014. Now, this was a big event when this bridge was reopened. They had a lot of important people there. And remember, 77 means conspicuous, which means crystal clear. And if you look over to Revelations, in closing, look over to Revelations chapter 22 and verse 1. And this is found on page 985, Revelations 22 verse 1. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb." Remember the teachings of Pastor, making the image crystal clear. And with that, if you'll all please stand, it's my great honor and privilege to present to you the great Kahan Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Now let's fine-tune this. Let's get the resolution even better. Let's clarify some more things and make them clearer for you. Did everybody get their YPN news release last night? Everybody on the YPN email list? Okay, because this is really great. This is from last night, 2/17, 2017. Texas pastor says, if we are willing, we can get it back and have peace among the nations. It's not too late. And if you look at the subject of the newsletter is all about the two witnesses. Okay, all about the two witnesses. You know, this is beautiful because it ties in to 2/17. And I was telling Pastor this morning, I said, you delivered that just in time and gave me a beautiful opening for the explanation on this number 2/17. If you remember a couple years ago in 2015 when the wave came out, the wave picture in Scotland, we did a lot on that number 2/17 and the white stone in Revelation 2/17. And if you remember, this year is 2017. You know, just drop the zero and you'll have the 2/17. But let's remind ourselves what 2/17 means. 2/17 means, in the this is in the Hebrew, it means light. Light. It's from 2:15. And by the way, you can write down Isaiah 49:6, that Yisrael is given, our great overseer is given as a light to the nations. Okay, remember the seventh light that lights the space in front of it, that enlightens mankind with the laws of Yahweh. Okay, it's from 2:15, which means to be or become light, to shine, to give light, to make shine of the face. You know, may Yahweh's face shine upon you. Now, 2:17 in the Greek is equally as interesting. It means salt. Salt, okay? And it says, salt is a symbol of lasting concord or unity. It means wisdom that's exhibited in someone's speech. Wisdom and mercy exhibited in speech. And if you remember in Matthew 5:13, what did Yahshua say you are? You are the salt of the earth and the light. Okay? The salt and the light. Okay? And that's what Israel, the great overseer Israel Hawkins, is to the world at this time. And you as the colts of the donkey, right? Also, it's from 2:51, and it means a brother. Brotherly, brother of the same parents. Okay, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. The two witnesses. I'm going to pick up right where I left off last time. And we were talking about that number 322. And let's see, let me get over here. Here's the book I'll be covering. The Two Witnesses, New Light. All right, and if you remember, the gematria of two witnesses, new light, is 322. Lo and behold. We're going to cover this. But I only gave you one definition last time. I'm going to expand on a little bit here. We're going to tune in the resolution a little better. If I'm going to remind you, 322 in the Hebrew meant backward, and it's from the word akor, and it meant afterward or west. Remember west, the western light. Remember Jacob, the witness Jacob, represents the eastern light on the lamp, the sixth era of the house of Yahweh. The seventh era is the western light. And as you can see, that's what it means. It means the west or the time to come, the time after the witness Jacob. It also meant brother of wrong. And we explained a little bit about that, how, and you can read the Two Witnesses book about how Jacob brought customs from the east, and that caused separation between him and Pastor. But I didn't show you the Greek definition, and I need to show that to you now. It means to lift up, show forth, show clearly, proclaim, appoint, to proclaim a person's appointment to an office. Okay? Now, if you remember what Pastor said, also it means to show. It's used in Acts 1:24 where it says, show which of these you have chosen. To produce anyone as elected to an office, to announce as appointed. Now, if you remember what Pastor said in the Two Witnesses book, he didn't understand until after the death of Jacob, the witness Jacob, he did not understand these things that clearly, okay? It was only revealed after the death of the witness Jacob. And as was indicated this morning, here's his tombstone, or his, not tombstone, but his headstone. And notice the date of his death, 3/22/1991. 3/22. Okay, so now, that's when it became clear to Pastor after that. So that's the definition of the word 322. And remember I showed you this as you're entering into Abilene. Right there, there's the entrance to Abilene. You see these two numbers, 83 and you see 322, Luke 322. Okay, now there's a reason for this. And if you remember, I showed you the length of Highway 83. It was 1,894 miles, and it meant Abel. It meant Abel. But it gets better, okay? Because Yahweh is so amazing, you know, how Yahweh is making this so crystal clear who he's working with in these last days. Folks, this is not a church, you understand, right? This is not, this is the house of Yahweh, the living Father. The only one on the face of the earth. The only ones on the face of the earth that Yahweh's working with. Is that sinking in? All right, now, I can't reveal too much here. I can only tell you this much. This is on the tag of the great witness. It's had it for a couple years now. I can't reveal the rest of what's on that tag, but I'll tell you what it means. It means Abel. It means Abel. It means to cry out with a loud voice. It means to speak out. It means food supply. No, not the, you know, well, he does feed us really well. Okay, but he's talking about the spiritual food supply that comes from the mouth of the witness. It also means to return to soberness. The world is drunk on the teachings of the Catholic Church. Who's going to turn that around? That's right, the great house of Yahweh. It also means awe-inspiring. And I'm going to tell you, it's truly awe-inspiring to see these things. I don't know how we sleep at night. We work very hard, that's how we sleep. But otherwise, I don't know how we can sleep. It's just too amazing to me. Now let's go back for a minute. I was also telling you last time about this Horsehead Nebula from 1888 that was discovered in 1888. And it was discovered on, as you can see, February 6th, 1888, by the woman from Scotland. And I want to show you what that date means. And I want you to think about Isaiah 44. Here's what it means. It means behavior and conduct, referring to what is established and settled according to a fixed exact design. It means, it refers to a believer exemplifying enduring qualities that specifically glorify Yahweh. Now who would that be? And all of us that are following in his footsteps, right? And it's from this word here, and look what it means. To set, establish, appoint, to set in order. Who will set it in order? Revelation 11, Isaiah 44. Who will set it in order? Who is I? Put in charge. To put in charge, give standing authority, which enables someone to rule or exercise, you know, not force in a mean way, but exercise rulership like Yahshua did. Remember, being a servant to all. That's Pastor Israel Hawkins and all the colts of the donkey, right? Service. We need to remember service to others. To set an order, to appoint. And think of those, Isaiah 44:7. It means appointed, put in charge. Remember Matthew 24:45? The ruler that's put in charge. The faithful servant that's put in charge. And it means to make, ordain, a set, appoint, to designate. That's just in the date 2688. That's when that nebula was discovered. Now get this. The first picture that was taken of this nebula, of course, this is way before NASA was around. This was January 2nd, 1891, by a guy named Max Wolf. Okay, there's the date. And I kind of put it out in red for you. So we're going to look up 1291 because it was January 2nd, 1891. So let's look at this date. And it means, it says corresponding to Barak, which is this word here. It's the word Barak. And it means to kneel, the knee. And it means blessed, abundantly blessed. Okay? That's 1291 in the Hebrew. Let's look at 1291 in the Greek. It means to set apart, to charge expressly, to give a commission and an order, to command expressly, to set oneself apart, to enjoin or charge. And it's from the Greek word stelo, and it means to set and arrange, like set in order, okay? Just like we read on the other definition, to prepare, to gather up, to gather up, to bring together. Now notice here again, to set in order. Who as I will set it in? Let's read that in Isaiah 44:7. Let's turn there real quick, just to remind ourselves about the two witnesses. Let me get my glasses so I can bring in the resolution. Make it crystal clear, at least. Well, I don't know. There's some kind of spot there. It won't be crystal clear, but it'll be the best I can get. It says on page 558, it says, "And who as I will foretell and set it in order for me?" Well, I can tell you who'll do that, because it says right here, "As foretold by Yisroel Hawkins." Okay? That's who will do it. And it says, "Since I appointed the ancient people and the things which are coming and will come, let them foretell them." But who will set it in order? Well, he's showing us very clearly, very crystal clear who that'll be. Now, the house of Yahweh, as you know, was established in 1983. And we went over last week, 1980, when it was, when they had the, the dedication in 1980, 12-2, 1980. And we went over some things there about Genesis 4:26 and how, you know, that meant to invoke the years from Genesis 4:26 to 1980 when Pastor and his brother established, or not established, but help me out. Dedicated or renewed the worship of Yahweh, right? And that's what it says in the Two Witnesses book. So turn to Zechariah 5. Turn to Zechariah 5 so we can get set up for this. Give you a page number. Zechariah 5 on page 719. Remember, Zechariah also talks about the two olive branches, the golden pipes, you know, the two witnesses, the two olive trees. Just has a great future. And didn't the great sons of Israel, Abel, do an excellent job this morning? You know, regarding these two witnesses, you know, I hope everybody was here to hear it, okay? Because it was very, very, very interesting, very enlightening. Okay, now, let's look at Zechariah 5. And as I said, it talks about the two witnesses. Look at verse 10. It says, "Then I said to the Moloch who was speaking to me, 'Where are they, the two witnesses, going with the ephah?' And he said to me, 'To build the house of Yahweh according to the standard of perfection, sent by Yahweh's laws in a Babylonish land which does not yet exist.'" Okay, now we all know that that's talking about the United States of America, which wasn't, you know, first of all, get it out of your mind that Columbus discovered America. He didn't even set foot on this continent, okay? He went to the West Indies is about as far as he got. America was actually officially established in 1776 when it was found, when it was the Declaration of Independence was signed. So let's look at this. If you have a book of Yahweh with the times in it, you know, when these chapters are written, Zechariah 5 was written in 519 BY. So if we go from 519 BY to 1980, we have 2,499 years. So let's look at 2499. It means pass. And then it's from 2496, and it means renewed, to sprout. Sprouts, like in Isaiah 44:4, they will spring up as willows among the watercourses. If you look up that word spring up, it means to sprout, okay? Sprouts, it means anew or renewed. Remember the two witnesses' dedication, the renewal of the worship of Yahweh? But it gets better. It means to go on forward, to grow up, to grow up. And remember, we are in the growing process, the green. Remember, the green, the growing, okay? It means to renew, to sprout. Somewhere or another, I've missed something here. Let's see. Okay, to grow up, to sprout, to renew. That's to 1980, remember, when the dedication took place. And it matches the definitions of that dedication in the Two Witnesses book. But notice this. If you take Zechariah 5:19 BY to 1983 in the establishment of the house of Yahweh, guess what you get? You get 2502, and it means Yoshiah. Well, what does Yoshiah mean? And you can find this on page 322 in 1 Kings 22. I believe it's 1 or 2 Kings 22. The word Yeshiah, as you'll see, it means founded by Yahweh. Founded by Yahweh, or foundation of Yahweh, if you look in your book of Yahweh. Founded by Yahweh. Isn't that amazing? 2 Kings 22:1 for your notes on page 322 is where you'll find Yeshiah mentioned. So it says founded of Yahweh. Well, that word found, if you notice here, it means establish. Establish or originate an institution or an organization. Interesting, right? So I put the House of Yahweh established, you know, the booklet we have, this great booklet right here. All right, the House of Yahweh established into the Gematria calculator. And lo and behold, what comes out? 1776. That was when America was established, right? Now, it gets a little better here because, okay, in the book, Mark of the Beast, Pastor, and there you go, let's plug that Israel Says, okay? You can find this in Israel Says. Just type in Babylon, New York, like I did. And on page 134 of the Mark of the Beast, Pastor points out in New York City, there was a place called Babylon, New York, or in the state of New York. Babylon, New York. He wrote about this because he was comparing New York with Babylon, okay? So, I've got to thinking, I wonder how far Babylon, New York is from the press room in Abilene. I don't know if you can see that very clearly, but it says 1,776 miles. 1776. So, are you seeing the connection between the house of Yahweh and the establishment, where it tells you here in Zechariah about this house being established in a Babylonish land that did not yet exist? Does he not pinpoint where it is? Does he not make it crystal clear? All right, so for my last part, I want to talk about another event, and I marked it in my book so I could turn right to it. Let me plug this. That's my bookmarker, by the way. Right? This beautiful bookmark. Okay, and it talks about a lawsuit that was, once the house was established, you know, they tried to bring it down. They tried to bring it down, but the gates of hell will not prevail. A lawsuit was filed in the fall of 89. Pastor got word. The house of Yahweh was being sued by a well-known sacred name assembly. Our attorney's opinion, now I need you to pay attention to what I'm saying. Our attorney's opinion was that the organization was attempting to squash the House of Yahweh, just as they had squashed every other organization that used Yahweh's name. Of course, they didn't know who they were messing with, right? You don't mess with the creator of the universe, you know what I mean? Once he establishes something and it's his intention, you cannot change that. And the pastor told me the man that actually did this was very regretful afterwards. You know, he realized, he said, man, I realize I've messed with something I shouldn't be messing with. But that was afterwards. Now, he says that this lawsuit, you know, they got this lawsuit, and that's when his brother joined him. Yaakov joined him to save the house of Yahweh, so they could stand together and save the house of Yahweh. Now, what they did is they both signed. Can you zoom in a little bit? They right there. It was at this time, he says, that I and my brother joined forces to battle this assembly. And on July 4th, of all dates, right? Wasn't that when America was established or something? On July 4th, 1990, they made a reciprocal agreement that they could both use, you know, the name House of Yahweh. They joined forces, the House of Yahweh Odessa and the House of Yahweh here in Abilene. That was on 7-4-90. And they were summoned. They got a summons in the mail. Okay, and I want you to turn to Isaiah 44 real quick. I'm sorry, not Isaiah 44. Isaiah 48:13, just for your notes, on page 561. Isaiah 48:13 says, "My hand has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens. When I summon them together, they will minister together." Okay? Now, does everybody know what a summons is? A summons is... Can you zoom in? Zoom in, please. A summons is something you get in the mail calling you to court that you've got a lawsuit, that you have to answer a suit. Okay? Now, it wasn't Yahweh that sued them. Don't get that in your mind. Yahweh didn't do that. Yahweh allowed this to take place for a reason. That word summon is word 7121, and it means to call, to sue, summon, summons. Also, it's the word that you get that word where Yaakov had a hostile encounter on the train. Remember that? It's the same word used, 7121, means a hostile encounter. It's from 7122, and it means to encounter, whether accidentally or in a hostile manner, or under duress. Okay, now you remember they were trying to squash the house of Yahweh? Y'all remember that? All right, let's look at the word squash. Can you zoom in, please? Squash means to crush. It means to crush. That's the first definition. They signed this reciprocal agreement on 7-4-90, and it means to crush. Means to crush. And it's from this word here, the Hebrew word ra, and it means afflict. It's from 7462, and it means friendship. Be each other's companions. To be companions, friends. To associate with as a friend, pastor, shepherd. You see how they came together to stand up against this trying to crush the house of Yahweh? That word minister means to take a stand. It's Hebrew word 5975, and it means to defend, to establish, to join. Remember, they joined together. It means to resist, to restore, to stand, take a stand, stood firm. And the witness Israel did stand firm. And guess what? From my last definition right here, when you have a lawsuit, there's always a prevailing party in that lawsuit. A prevailing party is the winner in a lawsuit. Well, guess what? The gates of hell will not what? They will not prevail against the house of Yahweh. Yahweh has established this house, and it ain't going nowhere, Pope Francis, Vatican. Anybody that has plans to bring Yahweh's house down in any way, forget it, man. Join the house of Yahweh. Be on the winning team. You know, be on the winning team. We'd love to have you, you know. Be on the winning team. And at this time, it's been an honor and a privilege to to talk with you this morning. And if you'd all please stand, I'd like to turn it over now to the great Kahan, Ilya Hawken.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Well, of course, with all the things taking place in the news, we want to focus this morning on a few things. There's so many things taking place, but we want to remember what prophecy says and what the house of Yahweh is bringing forth this prophecy, because that's what makes the house of Yahweh who and what it is today, is it brings forth this prophecy and it fulfills prophecy. And we want to first look at the refugees, which you don't hear much about right now, but they're still fleeing. And there's still millions of them in distress. Now, the articles we want to show this morning, I want you to keep in mind that they're talking about how they can't deal with 100 refugees here or 400 refugees here. Look at the living conditions and also look at the hatred, especially in France, where they push them out of a refugee camp and they're fighting not to let them back in. And their hope is to push them into another country so they don't have to deal with them. And of course, well, which country is going to quit pushing these people? They're kind of like a pinball going around back and forth. Well, they don't know it yet, but they are headed somewhere, and it's not France. It's somewhere else that we'll address here in a second. In fact, Isaiah 2:2 and Micaiah verses 4, 1 through 3 says that they will say in these last days, come and let us go up to that promotion, the house of Yahweh, so we may learn of his way. But keep in mind how they're not dealing with hundreds, they're not dealing with small amounts, so what's occurring to the millions? Remember how we brought out about children are disappearing? The ones that Pope Francis said, don't shut these people off, then all of a sudden their children are disappearing. Well, of course, they're not wanting to help these people, they're not wanting to take care of these people, they're wanting to eliminate these people. And keep in mind what these people are running from. Of course, Aleppo, if you remember Aleppo, the city in Syria, that has always been said that whoever wins Aleppo gains control of Syria. Well, you don't hear much about it anymore, but there's still a lot of fighting going on in Aleppo. In fact, it was just recently this last week, if you remember, we brought how they're saying the Taliban are the ones who are fighting against the coalition, as they said. The terrorists is what they refer to them as. They accuse them of dumping large amounts of diesel fuel in the water to where it wasn't drinkable. They're saying they got all that cleaned back up, and then once again, the water was shut off to that city again. You have to have water to live. You don't have water, you got to go outside of there to get it. But that battle is still going. And I want you to keep this in mind, because the United States recently admitted, RT's reporting it, the United States admitted that they were using armored-piercing weaponry, bombs. Well, that doesn't mean anything to you until you realize that they're also enriched with uranium. Now, I want to read you something about uranium because it's very important that we understand this. And it says, and this is from Wikipedia about uranium, it says, in 1798, the discovery of uranium in the mineral pitch blend is credited to Martin Heinrich Kalpruth, who named the new element after the planet Uranus. Now, research by Otto Hahn, Lisa Meinter, and others such as J. Robert Oppenheimer started in 1934, notice in 1934, led to its use as a fuel in the nuclear power industry and in Little Boy, the first nuclear weapon used in war. Keep that in mind. What created that nuclear weapon was uranium. Now, uranium gives off colors. Keep that in mind also. To have a nuclear explosion, does it matter the size of it? No, it doesn't have to be this uranium bomb that was exploded. Remember the colors. Remember we have red, yellow, and blue. Keep in mind that they've admitted they're using these uranium bombs, which is leading to deformity, it's leading to miscarriages, and it's leading to birth defects. It's a great way to eliminate generations to come. Now, think about what occurred to those in Japan in Hiroshima and Nagasaki whenever they detonated those bombs. They still suffer to this day in their genes and the things they passed down to their children, the people that suffered. If you remember White Light, Black Rain, the show that we showed in the sanctuary, the documentary that was made concerning that. Keep in mind what's being said and what's coming forth. And think about these explosions. Think about what's taking place and think about what's said and think about what prophecy said it would be. It's more important that we understand that what the house of Yahweh is bringing is right on line with what's taking place. and what we may have imagined it should be, well, we might not be too much there. We might want to see this huge bomb take place where the whole world sees it lights up. That's going to take place eventually, but don't let it escape us. These things are already taking place. Even if it's on a small scale, people are suffering, millions are dying and fleeing, and it's all taking place in and around that great river Euphrates. It is coming to pass. It is taking place. And in all of these things we see taking place in Syria and in and around that area, of course, President Donald Trump recently this week, he had a press conference, a 75-minute press conference, where he called the press corps in, and many of them were running. Scott Paley of CBS News goes in to talk about how they were running to get ready for it. It was unannounced. And as they came in, of course, we show a little bit before he was elected president, one of the press corps asked him, he said, "You've called us losers. You said we're all losers." And President Trump said, "No, not all of you, just most of you. You're liars." And of course, he went on to say, "Well, are you going to do this when you become president?" He doesn't even let the man finish his question. "Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm going to do that, absolutely." And he kept his word this week. That's exactly what he did. He reminded the press corps once again of how they're liars. Well, if he didn't know that, he could have come here and we could have told him years ago, the media will lie about you. We've known that for years. Well, watch what's taking place, because as he's addressing this, watch how the media's not giving in, he's not giving in, and there's really no questions or answers being dealt with. The only thing that's being dealt with in these last days are the prophecies that are brought forth from the house of Yahweh that are absolutely, positively coming to pass just exactly as brought forth by the one sent. But pay close attention. It's not meant for amusement. It's meant for education. So if we could go ahead and please play the news. Well, at this time, I'd like to present somebody that's going to tell you like it was, like it is, and like it will be. The greatest teacher on the face of the earth, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Hello, everyone. We got a house full today. I want to have a lot of racket now for Yahweh, okay? Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. That suits you. You want us to do it again? Praise Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The news there is hard to get, but I tell you, it's playing right in with the prophecies today. I need to make this announcement. Everybody listen. If you need a purple suit, if you need a purple pants or a purple coat or both, we need to correct sizes, of course, of the pants and or coat or both. And you need to get to work on that. These weeks are passing like days now. I think we're fixing to find out what Yahweh meant when he said 1,000 years is like a day to Yahweh. The reach out that we're doing, I thought that was great what the great deacon Yisrael Abel said about was reaching 114 countries now. That is, we have evidence of that, and many of them are asking for literature. North Korea. that seems so hard to believe, but it's taking place just like Yahweh said it would. I don't know if I'll get up to that point in prophecy today, but maybe. If I could get an update on this article that came out Friday, from the beginning there was but one perfect religion for all people, says Yisrael Hawkins in News Post. And this, I think it was 6:30 this morning, this was up to 62,649. One for last week, let's reason together as the best way to bridge differences between nations That one's up to 156,000. The one before that, what does forgiving sin mean to those who promote sin? Ask Israel Hawkins. And that's up to 170,000 now. Pretty great reach out there. Billy Graham is listening to us. Sometimes these guys would be better off if they kept their mouth shut. He says Jesus separates Christianity from other religions. Of course, Billy Graham, this is the son speaking, not the ancient Billy Graham that I grew up with, the father, but that I looked up to at one time because it seemed like he was trying to teach some truth. But of course, I outgrew Billy Graham many years ago. That is later. This one is trying to follow in his dad's footsteps, but he's doing a poor job of it. If he could just read Genesis, you know, if he just read Genesis, it would help. But they think they can start their own religions without reading the scriptures. The way the scripture is written, the here a little and there a little, that's in Isaiah 28:13. It was written for the purpose of making it impossible to understand. And of course, in the house of Yahweh, the salvation starts with coming to the house of Yahweh, keeping the appointment with Yahweh, where Yahweh can work with you, teach you, inspire you. Otherwise, you're just blind like the world. You're like a blind man stumbling around hunting the doorknob. And of course, every move you make is wrong. But in the plan that Yahweh has. Oh, thank you. That was instant, wasn't it? That's come up over 5,000 already since I gave you that number a while ago. 62 to 67,825. That is magnificent. Praise Yahweh. A lot of information in that article right there. You need to get it and read it. But back to the explaining it now. Isaiah kind of gives you all the prophets do, but Isaiah, I'm thinking of what he said in Isaiah 58. He said, he shows you to turn your foot from the Sabbath. Now that's the start of it. If you will just turn your foot from the Sabbath, then these things will occur. Now he said this many times throughout his writings, but he kept leading up to another point and another point and another point. And of course, that's what you have to do to teach the scriptures. You can't read the whole book of Yahweh in one day. No one would remember it if you could. I've got to take you up. Bring things into your memory, bring you up to a certain point, and then add that to it. And this is what Isaiah did. A perfect example is Isaiah 58, turn your foot from the Sabbath. That's in Isaiah 58. Then in Isaiah 59, he shows you can make contact with Yahweh in that manner. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. So if you'll turn your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your things on Yahweh's Sabbath instead of Yahweh's things on Yahweh's Sabbath. Because the Sabbath is His. The Sabbath belongs to Yahweh. It's your appointment with Him to sweep His floors, dry His dishes, whatever needs to be done it needs to be done on that day. Gather up the scraps. You know, the apostles kept the Sabbath perfectly. First off, they ate. They went through the grain fields. They was hungry. They picked grain and ate it. Yes, that's what Yahweh wanted them to do. That's the reason he had the grain there to begin with. And had planned that field for them thousands of years before they were born. If you know Yahweh that well, you know that that field was planned. That the audience that saw them picking this so was also planned so Yahweh could correct them in their stupidity who made the Sabbath a burden. They greatly polluted my Sabbaths, Yahweh said. Yeshua came teaching the Sabbath correctly. His disciples came keeping it perfectly. Gathering up scraps on the Sabbath after feeding 5,000 people, that's a pretty big job. But Isaiah 58 shows it, here a little and there a little, so that they would go and stumble and fall backward. But today I want you to go over to 12 of Daniel, chapter 12. And I want to bring you up to where we are today in prophecy with these refugees. When we were talking about that this morning with, yesterday and all week, I guess, with the great Eliyahu Hyler Hawkins, I said, we've got to get these refugees in there because I'm getting to the point that I want to cover it in prophecy. But we need to see what these people are going through and where they're going to be led to. They're actually being prepared to be led to you here at the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. That's exactly what's taking place, and that's what Yahweh shows. In Daniel 12, you'd almost have to go back to... To understand this, you'd have to go back to Daniel 11:44, but tidings will come out of east. I don't want to cover this part right now because it's taking place with certain politicians and the religion, but in 11. But I will explain this as soon as I see who fulfills this prophecy so you can understand it too. But if you go all the way back to chapter 8, before we read this chapter 12, and look here at verse 22, verse 25 says, by peace he will destroy many. So he's talking about this great destruction that he's also shown in chapter 12 of Daniel. This is Daniel 8. And verse 25, by peace he will destroy many. He's going to destroy many. Now, if you look at verse 17, he's the last words of that, the time of the end. So we know it's speaking of the same thing that Genesis 49:1 is speaking of, the time of the end. When the stupid commentators, they were nothing more than Christians, you know, the Yada and the 12 tribes, that's what they were. They were Christians. They were Coptic Catholics that didn't want the laws of Yahweh. They rejected the book of Yahweh. You've got to get that in your mind. They established their own righteousness. That was Genesis. And Yahweh says, I'm going to take this throughout the world. If you just believe the scriptures, I'm going to put this throughout the world, this rebellion that is shown in Genesis 49 in the last days. So you see that, and then you see this right here. You know that Daniel is speaking of the same time period here that Genesis 49 is speaking of. In verse 22, now because it broke off, and four, here's your first sign of the horns of the golden altar, which represent the quartet. I'm going to have to write about that, I think. Now, because it broke off, and whereas four stood up, you have four kingdoms here, great kingdoms. This quartet that we're speaking of here are very powerful, the most powerful nations on earth. They don't get authority from Yahweh, as we see in Revelation 6, that the United States was given authority to take peace from the earth. So keep that in mind as you see this, see, in the last days, in the end. Well, because this tells about this horn that broke off and four others stood up in its place, our four kingdoms will stand up out of this nation, but not with their own power, not with his power. They're going to be standing on their own in the last days. The quartet, these four kingdoms, are going to be standing on their own. Now, there's a lot of governments that came in between this, of course, that was connected with this, and these four grew out of this one that broke. In Revelations, let's hold your place right there and go over to Revelation 17. Revelation 17. I'm trying to remember all of this because at the last of this sermon, I hope today to get a certain point in that you need before the feast, before the Passover. In Revelation 17, look at 1 and 2. And there came one of the seven Malachim. These are the messengers, of course, of Yahweh, with that he shows in the seven lampstand that is shown throughout the Holy Scriptures. That this is Yahweh. Anytime you see this is Yahweh's works that he has prophesied. And Amos says he will have no others. Remember, Amoshah? He says, I'll have no other works except these that are prophesied. Well, here in Revelation 17, he says, and there came one of the seven messengers who had the seven bowls and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the sentence of this great whore that sets on many waters. We know the waters from verse 17 is multitudes, nations, and tongues, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. They've all joined, these kings we know are religions who join Christianity. Christianity is nothing but Coptic Catholic. Remember that. It came out of Egypt. That's the reason Yahweh sent them there to begin with. He tells them, don't eat of that tree. But of course, they went down there and ate of that tree, and their hearts never turned from it. They loved it. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, practiced idolatry, that God worship. Yahweh is not a God, if you just get that in your mind. And look at Genesis, don't now, but write down Genesis 3, 1 through 5. You will see that the gods are evil, and Yahweh says, don't eat of that tree, don't take of their advice, don't listen to their teaching, don't follow after the gods. They're evil. He says that in chapter 2. Don't eat of that tree, or dying you will die. The Catholic Church, the Coptic Catholic, means Egyptian Catholic. Catholic means universal, meaning they worship all the gods in the universe. It's universal. All the gods in the universe. And new ones come up daily. And Yahweh said to them, you got more gods than you got cities. They're everywhere. They were everywhere among the 12 tribes. How much does it take to get it over to you that the 12 tribes was Coptic Catholic religion? They were worshiping all the gods of the universe. That's what Christianity is. You're the whorish daughters. Christianity is the whorish daughters of this great whore here. This is what it's showing you here. It's what it shows you from Genesis clear through to Revelations. And Yeshua himself said in Matthew 7th chapter, they cannot bring forth righteousness. It's beyond them to bring forth righteousness. The only ones that can bring forth righteousness is the house of Yahweh. Not the house of the gods, but the house of Yahweh. And that's shown throughout the Holy Scripture. These people that we're getting, I mean, these are not just casual letters. These people are listening out there. In North Korea, that was fantastic because the messages from these 114 nations, and they're begging for material and saying how great this truth is that they're hearing in these last days. And some of them are saying, oh, we knew this ahead of time. We were hunting you. We've been hunting you for years. I don't know how many times I've heard that. We knew that this was going to be in some time, and we were hoping it would be in our lifetime. I remember many of these letters that they write. The practice of idolatry, this is verse 2 of 17, the worship of Elohim and the inhabitants of the earth have been made confused to where, like a blind man trying to find a doorknob in a dark room, drunk with the wine of her, that's a teaching of her teachings of adultery, fornication, that's God worship, the God worshipers. Now look at verse 18, and the woman whom you saw is that great city, this great whore right here. Get it in your mind. This great whore, the inventor of Christianity, the God worship of Genesis 3 verse 5 is, verse 18, that woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the religions of the earth. Yes, all 4,199 religions. The only religion on the face of the earth that she's not reigning over, the only one that's opposing her, is given in Zechariah, where Yeshua is high priest, and we're opposing this religion. There's no one else got guts enough to do it. They're afraid to even open their mouth now. If they get a job, they've gone through college for so many years, they give them a job in one of the churches. If they ever bring forth any truth, they fire them. Just like Trump fired his they fire their preachers too. Well, back to Daniel now, the 9th chapter. And keep that in your mind, because these four religions here are all led by this same character that sits on seven hills of Rome, this great city, the leader of the kings of the earth. If she wasn't leading the kings of the earth, you know, if she wasn't leading the kings of the earth, where would she be? She'd be in the house of Yahweh. But she's the leader of all these religions of the earth. Now, back to Daniel 9 and verse 22. Now, because it broke off in four, the quartet rose up out of this. They stood up four great kingdoms. We'll stand up. Now, this is in the last days. Remember, 17, last five words. In the last days, the time of the end. Four kingdoms will stand up out of that nation, out of the nation Israel, the 12 tribes, 12 tribes, but not with his power. Now, remember in the last days, and look at verse 23, and in the last days of their kingdoms. So they're still in existence in the last days, these four kingdoms. In the last days of their kingdom, when transgressions, when transgressors, when the Roman Catholic Church has spread its evil, deception, rebellion, she doesn't even pretend anymore. We've exposed her to where she's got to come out in the open now. Her sins are exposed all over the world now. She's not practicing righteousness. Yeshua said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of Yahweh," not the kingdom of gods, but the kingdom of Yahweh and His righteousness. Believe it or not, that was said in Genesis 2. The same thing. And then Yeshua said in Revelations 22 and verse 14, "Blessed are those who do seek the kingdom of Yahweh and His righteousness, because they have right to life." Yes, they're the only ones that have right to life. Read these things and believe. Believe what you read. When transgressors have reached their fullness, that's what we're seeing right now. I told someone yesterday I'd have never watched the news. I'd have never watched the news yesterday evening and saw all this because it kept me awake. But if you could see what's taking place, it was prophesied, every bit of it, in that fourth part of the earth in and around the great river Euphrates. Syria is a nation that's mentioned in this time period, right now. If you saw the buildings there before these wars started, before one of the quartet was given authority, she had to have it. Before she acted, she had to get authority from the Vatican to take peace from the earth. And this is part of it. It gives you the three colors there. As I was talking with the great Kohan Elia Haller Hawkins this morning, I said, "That's that three color that we see in Revelations 9. I said, "Be sure and point that out." But that uranium that is shown. It's actually shown in Revelations, the ninth chapter. The three colors there. And they all are set in motion. I'll get up to this later and read it. But they're all four, the quartet, is all set in motion to bring forth that 1 hour of great burning of the whole earth. And it looks like anyone could see that right now. These prophecies are 100% true and correct. Okay, we're still in 23 now. The transgressors have reached their fullness. The kings reached their fullness. A king of furious expression and understanding dark sentences, skilled in deception, will stand up. Now, it shows many other things that he will do, and as soon as he does it, I'll point it out to you. His power will be mighty, but not through his own power. This comes not through his own power, but that of the quartet. Verse 22. Not through his own power, but that of the quartet. And his power will be mighty. That mighty also means nuclear, as you saw in the news today. I hope you caught that. This uranium being used. And it's also going to be used to burn the whole earth in 1 hour. His power will be mighty, nuclear, but not through his own power, and he will destroy astonishingly. He will succeed and practice and will destroy the mighty, and it says holy people, but it means every form of holiness. Now get that and remember it. He's out this religion, this mighty city that gets the power straight from Satan, the authority straight from Satan, is out to destroy all forms of godliness. That's why you saw the abortions and how they came about. And the lawyers, this mock trial. I just wrote a letter on it, or I wouldn't even mention it, but you do need to read that letter as soon as you can get it. This mock trial of abortion, the Roe versus Wade. Someone said told me yesterday they found a receipt where I'd went to college in Abilene. And I said, yeah, I've announced that before. The Roe versus Wade woman went to the same college and in the same year as I did. I may have sat next to her. I don't know. I hope I didn't. Here on the one hand, in that year, when I was in that college, was righteousness being studied to bring forth Yahweh's righteousness, my studies. And on the other hand, in the same room, probably, in the same room was this woman that was hell-bent to fulfill what had been set up years earlier. They were hunting someone to use in this, to bring forth this mock trial, to bring forth to the courts. And that's all it is. It was put on. It was never sincere. They lied all the way through it. But that was put on to bring this forward, to get power, to make you think it's okay to kill babies. And then they say, oh no, that's not murder. That child was not alive. Well, stupid idiot, what made you think you had to kill it if it's not alive? Are you absolutely brainless in what you're saying? Can't you see how Satan has got your brain in the hand and squeezing out all righteousness, and it's your job to bring forth, to get rid of all holiness? You just can't see that, can you? But in doing this, you're going to destroy yourselves. And that's what Yahweh said you're going to do. That holy people, the words translated holy people, it means destroy all forms of holiness. In the same year, or 2 years ago, a few months ago, I can't keep up with the time here lately, they brought forth, had it planned for years and years and years, bringing forth and putting it in the minds that sodomy was a-okay. Now this is in getting rid of all forms of holiness. There's a lot of people, they turned their heads and made them think that sodomy is okay. They passed a law through the Supreme Court. This, like Roe versus Wade, was set up years ago, and much teaching was done before it got down to this point, to where they actually had their judges ready in the Supreme Court and run this through for all the people to see. Even Billy Graham's son spoke against it. And I thank you for that, Mr. Graham. You just really need to turn to the rest of Yahweh's laws and admit that they are true and correct, and this world is on a downhill stumbling roll that's going to burn them up. Yes, there'll be ashes. That's what Malachi 4 says. They're going to be ashes under the feet of the righteous. that's going to end, that's going to bring this about in 1 hour's time. The power, see, of the holy people, verse 25. And through his policy now, through this same one's policy in this time period right now, he will also cause craft, that is deceit and fraud, to succeed in his hand, and he will magnify himself in his heart, and by peace, declaring peace, he will destroy many. Yes, it's coming. Destroy many, declaring peace, depopulation, while he's saying he's going to bring peace. He will also stand up against the prince of princes. Now, if you remember, let's just turn to it and read it. I don't want you to miss that. You see, the prince of princes, hold your place right there in Daniel now, and turn over here to Revelations, Revelation 17. Revelation 17, and look at verse 14. In verse 7, you see the seven heads. Verse 9 says these are seven hills on which this religion sets, this great city sets, that the leader of the kings of the earth. How could you not recognize that that's the Catholic Church? Do you know of another religion that has a city that sets on seven hills, that passes laws to get rid of all forms of holiness? Come on, be honest with yourself. This is fully described. This religion is fully described to you. And verse 14 says, he stands up against the prince of princes. That's what Daniel says. These will make war with the Lamb. The Lamb is the prince of princes. That's our high priest, Yeshua Messiah. Back to Daniel. We're still in 8. I didn't mean to take up all the time in this, but then in chapter verse 26, he says, "The vision of this evening and morning, which was told, is true. Therefore, seal up the vision." Turn off the television. For it will be for many days, distant future. And Daniel was very perplexed in his heart. Let's go over to Isaiah 43. No, we've got to go back to, I'm sorry, Daniel 12. Daniel 12 before we go to 43. Daniel 12, and look at verse 3 now. And, well, remember we started there with verse 44, tidings will come to this man. Now, this is one of the things that's going to take place. Then he will plant his dwelling of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountains of Zion. Yet he will come to his end, and none will help him. Now keep those things in mind, because you're going to see them take place very shortly now. Now look at chapter 12 now, and we see verse 1 is a great time of trouble. This is the same time that Yeshua spoke of for this generation. And then many, verse 2, many of those who sleep is going to be awakened. We're shown this resurrection by Yeshua also in this generation. In this generation, you're going to see it. Those who are wise, verse 3, will shine as the brightness of the heavens, and those who turn many to righteousness as the stars forever. Forever. If they turn them to, just get what he said there? You have eternal life. It's the same thing Yeshua said in Revelations 22:14, those who turn people to righteousness, that is forever. The other is not forever. Verse 4. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book to the time of the end. The time of the end. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. We saw that. It started in 1934. Then verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there was two others. One of those was born in 1934. One on this side of the banks of the river, the other on the other side of the banks of the river. Now, with that in mind, let's turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah 43, this is speaking of the two witnesses. Isaiah 43, Yahweh allows one of them to die. Isaiah 43, found on page 558. Isaiah 43, therefore I will dissolve the Levitical priesthood. He dissolved it. They no longer have it on the seven hills of Rome. They destroyed the temple, 70 AY, destroyed the house of Yahweh, killed what they thought was all the Sabbath keepers, and no one else would ever dare keep the Sabbath after that. Well, surprise, surprise, Hitler had to kill 6 million. He found a 6 million that they didn't want there, so he tried it again. He killed 6 million. They thought that would be the last of them. Now the list goes on and on. This word, it's an ever-growing thing, and not one of these is going to fail. So turn your foot from the Sabbath. You may die for it, but it's eternal. It means eternal life. Turn your foot from the Sabbath, Isaiah 58. That's the start of everlasting life. Well, here in 43 now, he says, therefore I will dissolve the Levitical priesthood and will give Jacob to the curse. That means death. That's my brother, my older brother, and Israel to reproaches. Israel to reproaches. I went on television the first time. Somebody asked me about this when I went on television the first time. It was in Abilene. Yes, in Abilene. It's on KTAB. I don't know the year, don't know the month. I know certain ones went with me that left the house of Yahweh at that time. I couldn't record in my own home, so I had to make a deal to record with them in the studio. And I do believe, I think it was in either 82 or 83. I think that was the first time that when I first went on television publicly, and that brought some heat. big time persecution. That's where it started. That and the newsletter, a newsletter that I put out, is wanting me to run for office before I wrote that newsletter and went on television. They wanted me to run for office in the city. After that, they wanted me to run from the offices. The Lords of Abilene didn't want me anymore. Hey, praise Yahweh. Okay, 43. Now get that. He's going to give Jacob. But now, as the great elder Kohan Benjamin brought out this morning, be turning over to Revelations 11 about myself and my brother ministering together. Revelation shows this. Revelations 11 shows this. See, you got two witnesses here. Let them foretell them. That's Isaiah 44. But one of them die. But before he dies, you see here they're working together in Revelations 11. Revelations 11, the first, he says, then there was given to me a reed like unto a rod. That's been covered a lot, and you really need to get that and memorize it to know what this is actually talking about. And the messenger stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of Yahweh
and the altar and its confines where they worship within, but the court which is outside the temple leave out, measure it not, for it is given to the nations, and the holy city they will tread underfoot 3.5 years. I will give to my two witnesses, see they're together, I will give to my two witnesses to perform their duty. Isaiah 44 shows my two witnesses. In verse 8, Isaiah 44, verse 8, you are my witnesses. Well, here he's saying, I will give to my two witnesses. It should be plain enough. Then he gives their names, Yisrael and Jacob, and tells even how they got them and how he spoke through from the bowels of my mother. He made mention of my name. All of those things are in prophecy. I will give to my two witnesses to perform their prophetic offices, and they will foretell events about the 3.5 years those cast about in dark with darkness. These are, mark out as it were, these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands ministering. Now, remember that word, ministering, because that's exactly what Zechariah 4, 5, and 6 shows they will be doing together, ministering to the whole earth. I will give to them to do this. But one dies, but they do minister together for a certain time. It's shown they have a separation. They separate, and then they go back together when it's called to do so with the sue, the lawsuit, as the great Kohad Benjamin brought out this morning. Praise Yahweh. Before his death, we ministered together, as Revelation shows. Now go to Zechariah now. Zechariah. Now if y'all forget this week, I'm going to have to rehearse it again next Sabbath to bring you up to date on it, because I'm still a long ways and my time is up. But Zechariah now 4 and verse 2. Verse 2, these are the two lampstands. You see that? Verse 2. Behold, the seven lampstand. That's exactly what you saw in Revelation 11 when the two witnesses are together. These are the lampstand and the two olive trees. Look at verse 3. These are the two olive trees. How much plainer can it get? But it's here a little and there a little. Here a little and there a little. So why didn't Billy Graham see this? Why didn't he notice this? Instead of falling backwards. It works. Yahweh says it works. Here a little and there a little. And look at verse 12. Then I spoke to him again and said to him, what are these two olive branches? Here's where you see the word that these two are called branches. As you see in another place where one of these branches actually establishes the house of Yahweh. That's over in chapter 6. Now look at verse 14. 14. Then he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand for the supreme ruler of the earth. They're the ones that actually stand on behalf of Yahweh, the supreme ruler of the earth. The gods don't rule the universe. They deceive and connive to get rid of man because they don't want mankind ruling over them. And they know that he's going to. And they're trying right now to figure out a way to destroy heaven and earth, hoping that will stop it. In chapter 5 now, and look at 5 and 6, he says, the last part, last two lines, that which is sent by a commandment. Then verse 6, this is chapter 5 and verse 6, and I asked, what is it? And he answered, the ephah, the standard of perfection, sent to Yahweh, or sent by Yahweh. Then he added, this is honor, knowledge, understanding throughout the whole earth. Now, this is the first time, as Revelations 11, 1 through 5 show also. So you know that it's speaking of the same time period. Now, look at verse 9. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, two women, the first and last heirs of the house of Yahweh, sent with commandment, same as the speaking of there. The Spirit of Yahweh came and overshadowed them, and they were covered with the covering of saints, and they exalted, magnified, and extolled the ephah. That's what was brought out this morning in the Numbers, if you remember, that very same thing, 322. I told the elder a while ago, I said, that loop around Abilene, that was half finished when I came to Abilene, loop 322. It went from I-20 to Buffalo Gap, half finished when I moved to Abilene. It was finished when the witness moved to Abilene and made the complete loop. Oh, there's more. I forgot. There's more to be brought on that. Well, you'd still bring. Okay, standard of perfection. Control. They exalted, magnified, and extolled the ephah, the standard of perfection, set by Yahweh's laws, separating the ways of the world from the ways of Yahweh. That is chapter 5. Let's go to chapter 6 and verse 11. Take the silver and the gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Yahshua, son of Yahweh. Says son of Yahzadek, that word Strong's Concordance tells you that's what that word is, Yahweh, the Creator. Set upon Yahshua, son of Yahweh. Remember, he's included in this prophecy now, and Isaiah, we'll get back to that in a little bit. The high priest. So he's high priest. He's high priest over the house of Yahweh. Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says, behold the man whose name is the branch. You just saw this over here in chapter 4, verse 12. There are the two branches. The two branches. Behold the man whose name is the branch. Remember, one dies, so there's only one branch left after that. Was the date given when my brother died? Great. Praise Yahweh. You need to remember that and remember when the house of Yahweh was established. You see that and put it together? Have you got it? Remember it? If you don't now, get that sermon and listen to it again. We brought out all those facts here this morning. My brother died at a certain time. The house of Yahweh was established by the other branch. The younger of the two witnesses that was born in 1934 that started this generation that will not pass away until all of these things are fulfilled. Yes, it's hard to understand if you don't have a teacher, but you got a teacher. You have no excuse. For he will branch out from his place and he will build the house of Yahweh. I don't know of another in all the world, another house of Yahweh that has legal right. And that's what Jacob and I fought together to establish. That we are the only ones on the face of the earth that have legal right to this name. House of Yahweh. It's given to us in prophecy. Why wouldn't we fight for it? It was given to us too to do this. And yes, we ministered together to do it as it was brought out, as Yahweh said we would. Build the house of Yahweh, verse 13. Yes, he will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory and will sit and rule on his throne. He will be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace will be between he and Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. In chapter, if you go back to chapter 5 again and look at verse 5, I'm going to quit here in just a little bit. Verse 5, now see, chapter 5 and verse 5, he says, then the Moloch, the messenger, who was speaking with me, came forward and said, lift up your eyes now and see and understand. I'm telling you now, look at this, read it. Read it and understand it. He's telling us, look at this, read it, and understand what I'm saying here. That which is sent by commandment. Understand, this is sent by commandment. Yahweh's house is taking a message sent by commandment. No church could do this. No God worshipers can do this. Yahshua said plainly in chapter 7 of Matthew, they cannot bring forth righteousness. They can't. It's impossible. Let them, the two witnesses, bring this forth. They are my witnesses, he said. Verse 6, and I asked, what is it? And he answered, this is the ephah, the standard of perfection, which is sent by Yahweh's laws. Then he added, this is honor, knowledge, understanding throughout the whole world. That is our job, yours and mine. We're the ones that built the house of Yahweh. And our job is to take this standard of perfection throughout the whole world. Throughout the whole world. Isaiah 11. I was in hopes I'd get up further than this, but it's still been interesting, right? A little. Yeah. It's in Isaiah 11. Remember our job. And look at Isaiah 11. Here a little and there a little. Found on page 537, Isaiah 11. And remember what you just read now, the standard of perfection to all the world. And Isaiah, his whole book was written about this house. That's the way it seems. Everything in here, maybe if you find something you don't understand that Isaiah said, it's probably because it's mistranslated to take out the name House of Yahweh. There will come forth a rod. There will come forth a rod out of the stem of Yesha. And a branch. Remember the word branch and branches. These are the two branches. Will grow out of his roots. Roots, that's the disciples. His 12 disciples that wrote Book 2 of the Book of Yahweh, a fabulous work, writing those books. And prisoners, Yochanan wrote that book of Revelations in prison. Every apostle was arrested, arrested, yes, and 11 of the 12 of them murdered, most of them in Rome, the seven hills of Rome. That's where he saw that it was drunk with the blood of the saints. That's what he says in Revelation 17. The Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him, this branch. The Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him. This is Yahweh's own words. That Yahshua said, you're a fool if you don't believe every word that the prophets have spoken. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the reverence of Yahweh. Now that's Yahweh's testimony. We have Yahweh's testimony behind us. we are the house of Yahweh. Look at verse 3, which will make him of quick understanding, and his delight will be in the reverence of Yahweh. He will not judge after the sight of his eyes, nor the hearing, nor will he reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness, that's Yahweh's laws, remember? In 1 Yochanan 3, that righteousness is practicing the laws of Yahweh. With righteousness, will he judge the poor? Did you get that? Judge the poor? Yes, we invite the poor. And reprove with equity for the meek, humble of the earth. He will smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. He will smite the earth, that is the sinful earth, with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips will slay the wicked. Yes, we are bringing them down, and Yahweh says we would. Righteousness will be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. Yeshua started his work in 1 to 3 A.Y. Be turning over to Hebrews, the first chapter. There's some discrepancies about when he was born, but it was, anyway, started with 1 to 3, and all of it was the start of this identification. But in Hebrews, he became the high priest over the house of Yahweh, and you see that in Hebrews 1 to 13, 10, 10, 21, and 16, and then back to Yeshua in our time, saying in Matithiah 16, 18, that I will establish my house. I will build my house, he says. He's the high priest. As Yahweh showed in chapter 6 of Zechariah, he's the high priest. And I got up to this, and if you'll remember it, then this next sermon is really going to be exciting to you. Really exciting to you. Because we go into the refugees, Yahweh willing, that is taking place right now, and what's going to occur with them while Satan is doing her killing. Yahweh is lining up people to come to the house of Yahweh. They will not be killed. Yahweh has protection for them, and he promises that, and he shows in quite a bit of detail that we probably won't bring out all of it, but he shows quite a bit of detail on how they're going to get here. And, of course, they're getting prepped right now for that time period. Prepped, that's each week. And we see the sermons are going to the world, all the world. We're getting feedback from it, so we know that they are getting them. They are converting. They're repenting and converting right now as they hear my voice. They know that we are the house of Yahweh. They know that I am Yahweh's last day's witness. They know that this house of Yahweh is carrying forth this work to all the world. Right now, according to the prophecies, there's no doubt. If you know the scriptures, there can't be a doubt that this is not Yahweh's work that he prophesied would be going forward at this time. The people are getting ready to be brought here. We're getting them ready to come to the house. Once they get here, they will know. They're studying hard right now. They're getting literature. They're reading it online. They're going into the computers, into the Israel Says program. They're reading as much as they can, as fast as they can. And they are learning. They're in many of these places where they're reading this, they're also sharing it with others. And this is a big plus. They take this literature and they take the computers, and they're actually showing this to others and letting them listen to it. So there's hope being built among the people where there was no hope. And when the time is just right, those people will be here on the land that belongs to the house of Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the service back to the next leader. I love you.